We've got a great show for you today. Are safety aids really dangerous? Are crossovers boring? Should you remove buttons? Get ready to find out. It's time to go behind the showroom. How are we doing today, Matthew and Tyler?
You know what? I'm not too bad. Just got off a long day of work. You know, I'm ready to go home and go to bed.
Nice.
Yeah, what he said. I was right next to him working today. It was also a long day.
Oh, yeah.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. This is our first episode. So I'll start with Tyler. Won't you tell us just a quick recap of who you are, what you do, and all that fun stuff?
All right. I'm Tyler Prasad. I'm a sales consultant here at Wheaton Kia and been here since April of last year. Enjoying it, loving it so far. And here's Matthew.
Yeah, my name is Matthew Vonk. I actually started at the same time as him around April of 2023. No, it's been a really fun journey so far. So I'm thrilled to kind of see where it takes.
Awesome. This is the show where we talk about anything and everything automotive. An over-reliance on safety aids makes the average driver lazy and disengaged.
Oh, we're starting off that strong.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like, I would say, like, it depends on the generation, I think. Because maybe a newer generation, they'd be kind of so used to those things being in their car that they may not pay attention as much as the older generation. Like, I'd say if you were born with using them in your car, you're going to be more reliant on them.
Yeah.
Like, older generations, they drove, 90s, 80s cars that had, they were basically like metal death boxes. So it's like, you're not going to rely on any other safety equipment to get you down the road. Well, people who are particularly new to the car scene, you know, 16, just turned, got their license, they're probably getting into something that has some sort of safety features in it.
Like definitely like blind spot or something.
Yeah. Like, you know what? I see a lot of people on the road that just do not check their blind spot. It's like, it's bad. Because they're just like, oh, that mirror looks good.
Yeah.
And they go.
I turn now. Good luck, everybody
exactly.
else.
Exactly.
100%.
So I definitely think it's good to have them in the cars for sure. I know for myself, like when I'm telling customers about the certain safety features in a specific car, I definitely say make sure not to rely on them. Like it is there to for your second opinion, pretty much, like especially if you're checking your blind spot, you should probably turn your neck a little bit. But I mean, if you forget to, the blind spot assist is there, so that's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, like it's seniors and youth that are mainly the ones that are going to hone that. I think that like the middle generation is going to be like, all right, whatever, but it just depends on kind of how you drive, I guess.
You know, like, I was a person, I started driving, it was a Volkswagen Beetle, and it had blind spot, but it didn't have any of that adaptive cruise control, smart cruise control, anything like that.
I remember when I was going for my road test, and they had backup cameras. This is like when backup cameras were starting to be more standardized.
What year was that standardized?
I think newer than that.
Was it newer than that?
I think it was newer than that.
They're standardized?
Yeah, you have to have them now.
Yeah,
100%.
Oh, yeah.
No option.
By law.
No, it wasn't standardized because I had a 2014 Kia Forte.
Yeah, oh, we hadn't agreed on the year.
Like from that year on, it had
I was going to say, but that's crazy. I didn't even know they were standardized.
Oh, yeah.
Two out of my three cars were not backup cameras. And you know what? I toughed that out.
Well, every car before that, you didn't have a backup camera? Wow.
I didn't have one in my Forte and I didn't have one in my Mazda. So I just never was really used to them, and now I get into my new car and it has a 360 camera.
Whoa, that's
cool. Yeah, that's a big jump.
It's a big jump. Yeah. But like, and I'm like, all right, how close am I getting to this curb? And I just press the button and look. But like, the thing is that going back to the topic, the thing is that lane keep and lane follow. You know what? Some people are gonna be able to check out like hazards. They're gonna scanned at everything. They know deer's on the road and all that. Other people are like, all right, lane follow. And then just get comfy. They don't want to scan the rest of the road. So it's not good for that.
That's a great point, because I think to have that system turned on, absolutely, it's a good, like, I would say it's like you said, a second set of eyes, right?
Yeah.
But you should be using that now as an opportunity to be doing your extra scanning, not to, you know, laser vision or
fair point.
Oh, yeah.
But do you really think majority of the people
no.
are gonna, absolutely not, right?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, no, that's
this brings up another good point, actually. So the screens in the cars are getting so much bigger, and some of them even support YouTube. So like YouTube or Netflix, like some of the aftermarket ones. See, you know what? You get safety equipment and then you get the opposite of that. That's the opposite. So you can just like, oh, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, cool. Like, something like that.
I felt like that was a shot point.
No, yeah. But like,
I know like for like some of the Jeep products, they have a screen that can only be seen by the passenger. So there's like the privacy.
Yes. I think that's a neat idea.
And I think for Tesla with the YouTube apps and whatnot, I think you have to be in park for them to operate. I could be wrong on that. I hope I'm not, but I could be wrong on that. People are buying crossovers instead of sedans because crossovers are an incredibly useful and flexible form factor.
All right, I kind of want to take a lead on
this. Okay, go ahead.
All right. I drive a sedan. I like my sedan. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing?
You're really laying it all out.
Well, I am. I gotta
put
my
foot on the table.
Guys, I got a sedan.
He loves a sedan. He loves to talk about what he drives.
I love my sedan. I love the sedan world. But I'm going to be honest, going camping last year with two other boys and hauling three sleeping bags and everything else that we needed for a 4-day camp trip was a pain in the a. Like, it was impossible to fit everything inside of my car. And, like, I would consider my car to be pretty spacious.
WRX, especially
when,
right?
Yeah, especially when nobody's in there, right? It just seems like you got a lot of room. But, I mean, crossovers do have a lot more space that sedans can't offer. And I think that's pretty cool. Especially nowadays with not a lot of car manufacturers making all-wheel drive cars, most crossovers have all-wheel drive, right? That's kind of my take on it.
That's kind of where it lies, especially where we live, Saskatchewan.
Yeah, I mean,
anywhere in Canada, really, you're going to want all-wheel drive. Not all sedans come with that. And people like the functionality, knowing that they can carry stuff, more stuff, even though maybe they'll never use it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I drive a hatchback. So the thing about a hatchback is it's the best of both worlds. So
Matthew trying to sell that black Kia Stinger on the lot, I see. Good
always,
stuff.
Always. It's the best of both worlds, though. You get an all-wheel drive system, you get a powerful engine, and you also get your nice little hatchback. But I can still lift it up. I have a lot of room in that thing.
Yeah.
When I put the seats down, I could fit like 7 bodies in there.
All right, now I got a bone to pick.
It is perfect. But see, the thing is, between the sedans and the crossovers, I feel like sedans get a bad rep now. Like, it's just nobody wants a sedan because they're kind of looked down on. Everybody wants the functionality of a crossover SUV, but they like the price of a sedan.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, why people go for them. Same with fuel efficiency.
Well,
and I'll add, fuel efficiency, practical, absolutely, but the driving feel.
Yeah,
like I went from a Forte to a Seltos, and the one thing, like, Seltos is a great handling vehicle, but there's something to be said about a sedan or a car. It's so low to the ground, you're so connected. I'd say that's another additional big contributor.
Yeah,
sedans are still around.
Another thing I'll say is, like, I said this in the first one, it's a generational thing. The younger generation is gonna go for maybe a smaller car, cheaper payments, all that. The older generation, they just want something easier to get in and out of.
The taller, like, SUVs.
Yeah, something a little higher off the ground.
There are a lot of members of our generation. I think us three are like kind of the outliers because we like our sedan.
We like
our cars. But a lot of people I know, they're going for the Seltoses, the Sportages, because again, like, you know, pulling your friends around, if you're going on a camping trip, be able to put everyone's stuff in one vehicle.
Maybe another topic later down the line, but that's where the K5 kind of was, you know, the best of both worlds. I know. Rest in peace, Kia K5 in Canada. But like, it had that longer shape. So you were able to fit more things inside of it.
Oak bottle shape.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was all-wheel drive in a sedan and had a you know, a 1.6 turbo. It was quick enough. It checked all the boxes, at least for me.
Oh, yeah. No, like, it was a great sedan, but, I mean, it just wasn't what people were looking for. They were all going for crossovers, like the Seltos.
We're gonna touch on this a little bit later on, but it goes to show that was the perfect size segment, that the Forte still did really good, and then you jump over and the Stinger was still doing really good. It was just that middle segment that that didn't get a lot of attention. And the K5 is a loved car.
It is. Like, it is. It absolutely is.
Like, a few customers of mine, they love their K5 because it's the perfect size. It's all-wheel drive. It has a huge trunk in it. Like, fits so much stuff in it, but it's just demand wasn't there. It's just like a sedan stigma.
Another bone to pick.
100%.
No all-wheel drive in the GT pack. Like, what? Yeah. What are you thinking?
Yeah, if you hear us.
If you hear us, please.
Your sport trims need to be all-wheel drive, too. We love you so much. Please.
Your friends from Canada.
Friends from Canada. Yes. Thank you very much. The average Joe likes big screens and the removal of buttons.
Oh, okay.
Generational.
All right, okay. Man, do you have any other arguments here?
They are generational.
All right, okay, relax. Hold on.
Matthew, every question.
Every question.
Generational.
God. Sit there and tell me that I'm wrong. Am I wrong?
The exactly. Kia K5 came down in a bubble, bro. Can you tell me that I'm wrong? I'm going to need my climate controls, my heated seats, my whatnot to be a button. Because when it's the middle of winter and I have my gloves
We're separated.
Right? Like the EV6 is a perfect example of a car that I think did that really well. There are a lot of capacitive touch buttons.
Yes.
But the ones that you're touching frequently, your shifter, your heated seats, anything in winter where you're going to have gloves on, those are physical buttons.
Like either physical buttons or haptic. Haptic buttons.
Yeah. Capacitive touch that just go... don't really do it for me. No. Give me that physical that physical feedback.
I think you're right. The EV6 did do it really good. I did test this out last winter as well. I had some knitted gloves on and I was able to touch the button. So if you do wear knitted gloves, then I mean you're chilling. You're golden. But I do like having that little screen to display my temperature. I think that's a neat way and a neat future way to do it.
And honestly. It's two in one.
Yes. Right? And I hate vehicles that have the big screen, but you can't, like, you have to go search for the climate screen and then
The worst for that?
What?
Stellantis products.
True. Yes. Yeah.
Jeeps, you literally have to click three buttons before you can turn on your heated seat.
The new Subarus, the new WRXs are horrible for it.
And that's why they need to be easy access.
Yeah.
And like, buttons are such a good idea for that because I don't want them hidden in a screen. We have to go through like a million
especially
menus.
Something like a heated or cooled seat, which, by the way, just going to point this out, Kia does incredibly. Every single vehicle, I'm pretty sure, has that physical button. It's right by your shifter.
Yes, yeah.
There's a heated or cooled if you have the cool.
Especially even better, or it's like the Sorentos, the Tellurides, they have the little switch.
Switches. Which feels great, by the way.
Especially because we live in a place that is 6 months of winter. Those are the buttons you're going to be pressing more often than anything.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, I love my physical buttons, like something about the feedback and it's always going to work rather than your screen. You're just like.
So they do say that a big reason why these companies are going away from the buttons is because it's less expensive to do a capacitive touch button than it is a physical button. And I'm not sure how much I buy that argument because there is like now you're programming as well. You're buying a screen. There is more components. But I guess versus like plastic injection molding for each button. Like, I get that.
But still, they put in those little broke buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lower
poverty
trim
buttons.
Yeah. The poverty buttons. Yeah. They still put in the poverty buttons. And is that costing me money?
All right. Okay. No, I got the RS6 Avant has two screens. You know that, right?
Yes.
And it has one for your like climate controls. And it is like a little iPad that is like this thin and on the bottom.
I could probably do that.
I could make that work.
I could maybe make an RS6
Avant. I mean, I guess
work.
If you're paying $200,000 for a car, you kind of have to suck it up at that point.
Okay, I feel like we're all pretty adamant on the buttons being physical, but big screens, gentlemen. Do you want, like, how do you feel about like the tablet style where it's just kind of on the dashboard?
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I like it looking like a little integrated,
like the wraparound screens.
Like, I like actual analog, like a tachometer and speedometer. Nice to have the little number that tells you how fast you're going, but you can never go wrong with an analog one because, I mean, it tells me how fast my car is supposed to go, where it's all about. I paid for the whole speedometer. I'm going to use it.
Absolutely.
But no, it's just nice to kind of have that like physical touch to this rather than everything be electric.
See, I get a lot of people that are... When I talk to them, they're like, well, this looks a lot fancier. There's a lot more buttons and screens that I'm used to. And I'm like, well, if you're going to buy a car today and you expect this car to last you 10 years, are you really going to want it to feel as outdated in 10 years? or 5 years.
That is a good argument.
Like, I love the wraparound screens. I like the Seltos wraparound screen because it's like smaller. Like
pretty much all Kias are kind of in that wraparound style. Yeah, yeah. And I'm not a hater in that.
Bit, no, me neither. I do really like it. Yeah, and like, kind of glad I don't have to touch anything on like the driver cluster because I would get so mad at the fingerprints. I'm so OCD about that. It's crazy, but I do like their direction on that. And like, back to the big screen. Subarus and that big middle screen, man. Oh, I would lose my crap. I swear to God, I can't do it. I cannot do it.
That's like, it's almost too big. Like, yeah. There's a threshold.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line that I have, and Subaru just goes over it. Let's just say I'm not the biggest Subaru fan. Love big screens, but I like my analog as well. It's like a perfect hybrid would be just nice. Like, that's what I would go for. And that's personally what I think my car is.
Wait, question for you. Do you like the digitalized analog screens? Like, where it looks like it's analog?
I actually don't mind those.
Okay.
Like, sure, like, I'm not a big fan where the numbers are just displayed. I like when I can actually see a speedometer. That's like when in the new Kias, they have like, you can change it so it actually looks like a speedometer. I like that. I like that a lot. I just don't know what it is. It's just way more clean looking for me.
Yeah.
When you turn the car on and it's like, whoop.
Yeah.
And what do you guys, have you guys seen that new, the Lincoln SUV? I think it's all electric. Complete.
Like the Nautilus.
The Nautilus. Like, have you seen that, Matthew?
Oh, I think I've seen the Cadillac one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The Lyriq, mm-hmm. I think. Yes. The Lyriq has it's the same huge thing, yeah. wraparound. You go ahead.
Oh, go on. I mean, I'm itching to know what you think about it now, so go ahead, man.
I got one word. Nah.
Nah, dog.
No. I think it looks sick, man. I think it is.
Oh, I cannot deny the aesthetics of it.
Absolutely.
Like, you see the pictures, you see the videos, it does look absolutely gorgeous.
Practicality,
though? But see, the thing is, you got to weigh in the cost-benefit principle.
Cost-benefit, and what are you really getting by getting 50 inches of screen
in your car,
right? What more do you need displayed in front of you?
You're getting clout. That's really it. You're paying for a screen that you'll probably just kind of look at and never really use. You'll use it to be like, oh, look at this. This is so cool. This
hey, guys, hop in.
And then there will... See, the nice thing is about that, though, never be any fingerprints on it.
It is. It's all the way to the front. That's right.
Okay. But it is a very big vehicle. And I mean, I think it's cool. I don't know how practical it is. I've never driven one. Never seen what it can do, really, but... I think it looks pretty sick from a video.
Well, we'll double check if Doug DeMiro's done a video on that.
Yeah, yet. Might as well.
It's time for Kia Connect. The part of the show where we talk about Kia models, present, past, and future. This isn't a Christmas carol, it's Kia Connect. All right, so today's topic, if you hadn't already guessed it, if you're a Kia fan at home, it's going to be the Kia K4, the Forte's...
Predecessor?
I think that's before. Right?
Successor.
Successor. The Forte successor.
I got a brain.
We're good at grammar. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think that's just vocabulary.
Same thing. Same everything.
The Kia K4, I think it's perfect. It's basically the Forte, but everything's just a little bit better. Everything's newer, updated. The interior has the wraparound screen. Mm-hmm. Even has a few better trim models with a few more features. Like before, it didn't used to come with the blind view or the surround view monitor.
Yes.
Now it comes in the top trim. You get the same engine configurations, but you also have looks like a longer body, more similar to a K5 kind of body lines, as well as the taillights, the front lights. Oh, they look great in that.
It matches the lineup so perfectly now with that.
Right next to the Sorento with those ambers.
And there's Carnival. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
They're starting
to
put them in kind of everything. Like, they're a really, really nice stacked LED-looking headlight.
Yeah, and it's clear that they're trying to keep the gas. They're trying to make all the gas vehicles.
Which I think it makes really good sense because...
Gas is dirty. It's going to be all yellow and orange. Yes.
It's like when the first year, the 2023 Telluride, they... changed that so fast.
One model year, they made the Telluride's DRLs white.
I think we got maybe six of those in.
Yeah.
Until they changed to 2024, and they're just like, all right, we're going to amber. And then I think people got mad.
I was mad. I was one of the people.
But no, it's got sweet body lines. I'm really excited for it because, you know what? The Forte's a great car. Super good on gas. But you know what? It is due for a refresh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see the K4 coming in pretty competitively, actually, just because people are looking for something newer, like a nicer looking mm-hmm. sedan. You know what? There's a few on the market, but nothing that really stands out like the K4 does, in my yeah. opinion. Like, you got your main competitors, like you got Civic,
Corolla.
Got the Corolla.
But then would you throw the 3 in there?
Yeah, I'd throw the Mazda 3 in there.
I think like Kia does a really good job at making their cars stand out. Like, I'm going to throw a little shade here, but like, come on, Toyota. Like, the Corolla has looked the same for the past 25 years.
Really? From the 2008 to 2023 4Runner, you kept the same exact interior. It's the one thing they changed was Apple CarPlay and Android
Auto. Preach, brother, preach.
You're like, it's modern now. Don't worry about it, guys. Yeah. Just leave it.
The only thing they changed.
And they bumped the MSRP up every single year for that. That's crazy.
Because people were buying them.
Lexus is the premium, the example of maybe an okay exterior, most of the time outdated, and a guaranteed outdated interior.
Absolutely. Even guaranteed. Their backup cameras. And like, I get customers that want to go back to that basic styling of vehicle, but then again, when you're getting out of your other 10-year-old Corolla because it's now outdated and looks outdated and doesn't feel the same, whereas Kia's, you really don't get that factor.
Like, I think it's just what people are comfortable with. People know this. People are comfortable. They're just, you know what, people don't like change.
It's true.
A thing. It's true. And if they just keep the same model, they'll be like, all right, people keep buying it.
Yeah.
But I think that's about to change.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But the closing window when you need to fix it is so small.
Yeah.
You better be ready.
Yeah.
Ready.
I think they're riding out that reliability thing too hard now. and like, people waiting for 2 years for a vehicle, that's insane.
Do you think that's why they're so terrified to upgrade it in any meaningful way? Because they're like, well, if we change anything, we add too much tech, we're going to lose that reliability.
Look at the
and
Supra.
They're
going to
lose that customer base thinking that, oh my God, Toyota's changed.
Like, but why would you, P58 in the Supra? That.
We'd all love to love Toyota products, but
if you're in the car world, it's just. Mm-hmm. But no, like, see, the thing is that our cars are typically always changing. And that's the nice thing.
The Forte got a refresh in 2022, which was a great example of an old model getting a new face.
Yep.
And then, 2 years later, they're like, completely new model.
I don't know what happened to Kia in 2020, man, but like, they
ever since 2016
Kia's feelings
somebody hurt
really
Kia.
Bad
yeah. since 2016 Kia has been just putting out quality products.
Yes, especially for the 2016 SXL Kia Sorento, that it's not 10 years old yet, but it's getting up there, and that thing was so bomb.
And it still has a better surround view monitor than modern day Toyotas.
Yes, still had a V6 and had a little bit more power than the newer Sorentos. Don't get me wrong, I like the newer Sorentos. But
the sedan market, it's not as kind of in demand, but there's people who just want cheap new cars because they want something that's reliable with warranty and stylish. And I think that's what's going to draw in
the
most K4 of the crowd.
The K4 is definitely going to find that niche. That's for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, how does everybody feel about that green interior?
Oh, interesting. Like the kind of minty.
Like the minty sage green.
I honestly love it. You might say, that sounds terrible. Check it out in person.
I'll put a photo up right now.
Check it out in person.
Yeah.
In person, it looks totally different. It's like a grayish, but in the right light, you can tell it's a little.
Like, what is it? The Sportage that has the sage green interior?
Sportage and Telluride.
We had a Sportage come in, jungle green sage interior.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
I think my favorite was the black with the
green. Black with the sage interior.
That looked pretty nice. The Sorento plug-in hybrid that we have with the...
The
blue.
Light blue.
Yeah.
Oh. It looks really good.
It's the moment you've all been waiting for and that you didn't know was going to happen, because this is the first episode. This is After Dark, the spiciest topics you've ever heard, and you can take that to the bank.
After Dark means we can swear, right? Crap. Got him.
90% of people on the road don't know or care what a CVT is.
Continuous variable transmission.
Thanks, Tyler.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, Mother Tyler.
They are interesting how they work.
Mm.
Like, so basically they're really good for like racing because they always stay within the power band.
Oh, okay.
So That's one nice thing about it. They also can simulate gears. Like, most of them are one speed.
That's the one thing. Someone commented underneath. They said, yeah, they may not know what a CVT is, but they know they don't like the sound, right? A lot of customers didn't respond well, so a lot of companies started adding that, the fake gear shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, like, so I don't know if you guys know how a CVT works, but there's, like, two chains. Sorry, there's a few
chains. Chains, bands, belts, whatever it is.
And
right,
so as the car speeds up, farther and farther apart. Basically how a CVT.
Yes. Now, he did mention that it was good for racing. I'm going to tell you why it is, why people choose DCTs or manual transmissions over racing. The biggest one being turbochargers and superchargers. They build boost in gears at certain times, and then they have to release that pressure into the engine or exterior, vice versa. That's where manual transmissions, you have to shift to send the boost to the next gear or yada yada, things and stuff.
Yeah. I guess so. Mm-hmm. The nice thing is that you're always within that power band, so you're making maximum boost at the time you want it. But, I mean, you rarely see them in race cars.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they're strong enough transmissions.
Nope. So when you guys are, like, with a customer, for example, and you show them, like, we call them IVTs.
Yes.
Because it's a chain system. Do you notice any huge difference if you, like, you showed them, like, a Forte with the IVT versus, like, the 1.6 liter?
Yeah, I think you notice that shift, like, especially in the Forte with, like, GT, you notice the shift because it is actually shifting.
And it's
right?
A DCT, so you're like,
and it is a DCT, yeah. So yeah, it's a harsher shift.
I always prefer regular speed. Like, you don't see any, like,
Throne shade.
Blue stickers, get out of here. but you don't see anything that can tow with the CVT unless it's a Nissan.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Nissan has any cars that are not CVTs except the Z.
Yes. Apparently they fixed the CVT transmission, but I don't think they actually fixed it.
How many times have we heard that from Nissan? Oh, guys, trust us. We promise. This time, we got to figure it out.
We got it. Nope, trust. Yep, buy it still.
That's the one thing. Kia came into the CVT world like a completely new face, renamed it IVT, and then killed the game.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Like, the chain system is one of the most reliable on the market.
All of them are. Just do your maintenance, man.
Like, this reminds me of that one guy on TikTok or Instagram or something where he goes around and pointing at cars and he goes, very good, or...
Yeah.
And every time he sees a Nissan with a blue sticker, he goes... Because he literally points it out and says, blue sticker.
Yep.
The CVTs there, that's what gave CVTs a bad rap, is Nissan.
Yeah.
Because they introduced them and they were... horrible at producing them. So, like, now everybody has a stigma around CVTs when it's like other people can make them and make them better, more functional, more reliable.
Yeah.
Actually work.
Exactly. And not.
I may throw a little shade here at another car brand that is sister company to us. So the Santa Fe, the new Santa Fe that looks like a Land Rover. It's not a Land Rover, but it has the reliability of a Land Rover, I'll tell you that much.
And it has the aerodynamics of a lobster.
Of a lobster. A literal brick on the road. No, I have seen, may not be a credible source, but I have seen a few TikToks of one being a car reviewer, and he bought a 24 and a Santa Fe. And he didn't talk about it for 3 months because guess what? His transmission blew, and he had to wait over 3 weeks for it to get, you know, for the part to come in, even to get fixed under warranty. And I thought that was like, that was insane because they did a whole refresh with that vehicle.
And it was really well received. I mean, again, like we have a couple boxy vehicles like the Telluride, but I'd even say the K4 could be now considered a boxier vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But Kia is great at like giving you that impression, that aggressive impression.
Yes.
But still being aerodynamic.
But that thing is like so boxy, I'd get a paper cut.
It
is bad.
Mm-hmm. Opinions on the taillights.
Horrible.
Low.
What do you want? What did you think was going to happen when you asked that question? Horrible. We have established at least our opinions in this entire room filming this podcast. We do not.
It was
like
someone was in the CAD software designing that vehicle and they just let their mouse slip and they're like, it's fine.
No,
you
it's
know
fine.
How like you put like the reflectors on a bike?
Mm-hmm.
It's like putting them on the training wheel. Like, that's how low down they are, and it just looks so goofy.
You know, I will give them one thing. The little handles in the back doors.
That's pretty cool.
It's kind of cool. Especially yeah. It's hidden and yeah.
Aesthetically, but, I am a pretty big fan of it, but yeah, from what I've heard from customers,
the front isn't bad. You get like the cool little H.
Yeah. But H back. Is everywhere.
If I
H
get people everywhere, I get people walking in the store telling me they would take that over Sorrento, I'm kicking you out of the store. I swear to God.
Well, just the Sorrento had such a great landing.
Oh,
like,
yes.
It came. It
looks
saw,
like an SUV.
It killed the game. Yeah. Like, absolutely. And then this recent refresh with the Amarillo. Like,
oh, yeah. Yes. No, it's perfect. And I like the 2025 year. They also added the black logo is on the X-Line, yes. X-Limited, X-Pro.
Thank you, Kia.
Sorry it to people that so bought good. 2024s and 2023s. I apologize.
They'll probably plasti debt them for free.
But, I mean, all around me, bro.
But no, yeah, I just love the way it looks. It makes everything look like a little bit cleaner, a little bit fresher, especially if you get it in all black. Like,
we just got
sitting
that.
In the showroom, yes. And man, does
all
it
black
sweet.
Or white. Like, have or you white. Seen that white of the Portage with the black Kia logo? Yes.
Not gonna lie, I've been on like the Build a Kia like website, and I've been looking at the jungle green Sportage
with the blacked out
logos, because they're doing that for 2025 too. I don't think Seltos is.
Seltos not going all black. No.
Oh, I know. Kind of sad, but
They should. That makes complete
that
sense.
Does not make sense. But I mean, who am I?
I think X-Line specific. I think it would look good.
Oh, yeah.
Only X-Line, X-Line Limited, and X-Pros.
Absolutely.
Does that mean the Telluride would also get it?
Maybe. We haven't seen a 2025 yet. I have no news on that.
Yeah, we're still on 24s right now. No reports that they're changing much anyway.
Because I did just get a refresh in 23. Yeah. Actually, all our cars are pretty refreshed.
I think it's pretty hard to pick one out.
I think the oldest one is the EV6.
Which is getting a refresh 2022, next year.
Which is getting a refresh
yeah.
in 2025.
Yeah. Would it be the Soul? No.
Yes.
But the Soul got a slight change last year.
Yeah, they just
year.
Did. They did the DRLs. And,
yes, and then they put the logo in between, like the plastic.
Inside the plastic, I thought was neat.
I thought that was very neat. Yeah. I mean, you don't really need a logo to know. So for somebody to know that you're driving a Kia Soul,
it's a Kia Soul as clear as day.
Yeah,
I love them.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
If you ended up accidentally selling your Soul, we are happy to say you can come here and buy one.
Absolutely,
that's true.
I'd say that just about wraps up this week's episode of Behind the Showroom. If you want more episodes, be sure to support the show by sharing it with your friends and family. These are humble beginnings, people, and we hope to see more of you soon.
Yeah,
take care.
Excited to be here. See you next time.
Have a good one. Until then.